Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Redmen TV. It's the Instant Match Reaction, Brighton 1, Liverpool 3. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Chris Pajak once again.
Hello mate,
how have you been? Good, yeah, busy.
Been a while.
It's been a little, very little amount of time. How are you doing? How are you feeling after that?
Good, I think. I don't think it was the best performance. I think Klopp summed it up, didn't he, after the game, where he said, like, look, we did really well at the beginning and we did really well at the end, but that middle part of the game, we just didn't do well enough. And that's kind of it at the moment for me. It's like, again, I still put it down to sharpness for Liverpool at the moment, Paul. I'm looking at it and thinking, I can see that we're on the cusp of where we were, but we're not there, because this Liverpool side earlier on in the season at 2-0, that game's over.
Yeah.
And we let them back into that game and it was nervous for no reason. And I'm not sure why. Do you have any reason? No, do you know why that happened? Why that might have been?
Why we didn't dominate the whole game?
Yeah.
Look, Brighton, I think Brighton are a good team. You know, and Brighton had a game.
But
yeah, I think so. I think Brighton are a better team than people give them credit for. I think they play a decent brand of football. I think they maybe surprised us a little bit, in so much as everyone was talking about how narrow Brighton play. And actually, started to use the width, and particularly again using Lamptey. It's funny because once Mane and Robbo come on the pitch, it was the end. It was the end of his game, and it's because he's a 19-year-old kid. But like, they went at us. They were direct, and I think, as I talked about this on Red Mentions, is that I think the front three, four, five, or whatever, were ridiculously sloppy against Aston Villa. I think it was the back five who were sloppy in this game. And there's little touch in the amount of times, because I don't think we necessarily did anything particularly wrong, but we just gave the ball away loads and loads and put ourselves into ridiculous. But there was a moment where even Virgil van Dijk just made this, just it it up in the air, for no reason. It's very unlike him. And I get, maybe people might say it might be complacency, might be a little bit, you know, a little bit of that kind of settled in. But you're right, I think we're spinning plates to try and keep the whole thing moving, which is why we're seeing big, you know, quite big changes and from game to game and what have you. Our first 11 is still by far and away our absolute first 11, but everything else we do changes, takes a little bit away from that. And Brighton just gave us a good game.
I agree with you at the point you made there about, you know, we're making more changes than we would have done. Like, if we had City breathing down on him, if this season's still going, we just don't make a lot of the changes that we've been making. And you know, we always say it, don't you, when you make wholesale changes, and everyone says this, it's not like it's just us, by the way. You know, when you make wholesale changes, it's more difficult. Well, it is. It's blindingly obvious. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks and stuff, especially when I do think that they're not all fit at the moment. They're not all firing on all cylinders. But, you know, what I think the thing is, we had this like false dawn against Crystal Palace, didn't we, where we just thought, oh, fuck, brilliant. Everton was a bit of a one-off, and I don't think we're going to have it that easy between now and the end of the season. What we saw today was that first 20, 25 minutes, we were scintillating at times, like back to that high intensity, high pressing. And Klopp mentioned it in his post-match again. He talked about it. He's like, we had a plan for how we were going to win the ball back off Brighton high up the pitch, and it worked perfectly in places, and it didn't work in other places. Like, they obviously did something, changed something maybe to free up a man to make that passing a little bit easier for them. But until they got onto it, we were two goals up and the game was over, really. You know, as close as they did, you know, they bring a goal back and stuff, realistically, the game was over when we he scored our two goals. But it was the manner in which we did that. It was just brilliant to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And in terms of how we played, that wasn't really the Liverpool. That was a lot of the Liverpool we've kind of moved away from being. You know, so many teams that we come up against, they sit in, they sit deep, they smash long balls down the field or whatever. And we're just tasked with finding a way through. Well, Brighton played up. Brighton tried to play football, and that's why we capitalised on it. We are a side.
We can still do that. We just don't get the opportunities. Like, often.
Exactly, because who's fucking stupid enough to play that against Liverpool? You know, with the greatest of respect. And Brighton played right into our hands in that first 10 minutes of the match, and the game was done within 10 minutes because of that, and actually because you know the performances of like Naby Keita and Jordan Henderson, Firmino, Salah, etc. But yeah, you know, in the second they just went a bit cannier after that, and they go a bit more direct, and they put it on our toes a bit more. Malpai started being a bit more direct again. They got some width down the flanks with the fullbacks and what have you, and just stretches a little bit. And particularly when you've got Nico Williams in there, all our troubles came when they just went a bit braver and just went. And we've seen Liverpool do this plenty of times. We've got nothing to lose. Just get up the pitch. Nico was having quite a fun time on that side. Just play dead high up on the left, get the ball, have a few touches, drop the shoulder, do a couple of step overs, etc., etc. When he had to go back the other way, he had a couple of problems. But again, I think it's credit to Brighton. Graham Potter's clearly quite a decent manager. Well,
their goal proves that. I mean, you know, that's a goal that I've seen Liverpool score in many ways. In that, you know, they've got their right winger dropping deeper inside and they're asking questions of Nico Williams, and Nico Williams follows him. And actually, again, on third watch back, Ox doesn't track Lamptey at all. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem. There's an overload on that right-hand side, and it's a great ball in, it's a great finish, and that happens. You know, it's great play, but it's the centre-back's ball to the forward or the right winger that opens everything else up. Liverpool do that all the time. Mo Salah drops a little bit deeper sometimes, ball played into feet and trends around the outside, and we're working on a ball in.
Yeah, and look, I think it's worth pointing out. So you look at this is Crystal Palace, the only team we've played since the end of lockdown who had nothing to play for. And you might say Everton, but Everton did because it was a Merseyside derby and it's Ancelotti, and he's playing, and those players are playing not to be embarrassed. Mm. They're playing not to, you know, not to have all
just
their work
to get a win against Liverpool.
No, well, just not to put it in that instance. You know, obviously it was pre-Ancelotti where we battered them 5-2. We then beat them in the FA Cup with a team of children. But it comes back after lockdown. Ancelotti's had all his focus on this, and Liverpool don't have a full strength team out, and Everton just have a game plan to frustrate Liverpool and come out with a draw so everyone can go and keep their heads up high and they can take some positives out of it and use that as springboard, which they kind of did up until the Tottenham game. Palace, nothing to play for, mid-table. The second they lost Zaha, who's their talisman, they were absolutely done in that game. And you know, Villa fighting for the lives, City were playing for pride. Mm. City had more on the line in that game than we did, you know, more desire for it. And then you come against Brighton, and we were saying in the build-up, they're probably safe. But we equally said, look at their upcoming fixtures. It's only going to take a couple of bad results and a couple of decent results from Aston Villa in the next couple of games, as unlikely as that might be. And they could be right back into it. So they went for it. They played without fear. They didn't play like a team ready to roll
That's
over at the belly stiffle.
Yeah. Do you think teams are going to see what's happened if you attack Liverpool and think, you know what? Rather than just sit back and accept that they'll probably break us down over 90, is it a better option to maybe just have a go at going at us? Because we're seeing teams do that to City now that we never used to see.
Yeah, again, because it's a bit of a free hit at the moment. It's kind of like they're playing in Never Neverland. You know what I mean? It's a bit surreal unless you've really got something. Just having a look at it, Burnley will be up next. I'm not sure they really. I think they'll fall into the Crystal Palace category, if I'm honest. I don't think really.
But they get results.
They do, but I also think that they've got. I think you need the players to play it. And I'm not sure Burnley have. I mean, I saw this against Man City, in fact. You're thinking, Burnley are the kind of team who can cause Man City problems. They've caused them problems in the past. And then, I mean, they were missing Chris Wood and that other yard dog they play up front, whatever his name is, and they were playing Jay Rodriguez and Vidra, I think it was. And they were trying to play footy. They're passing it around. This is quite nice. But you're trying to play passing football against Manchester City and they got absolutely killed.
Stupid.
Yeah, they got killed by it. I suspect that Burnley game will be a little bit easier going. But yeah, and then what after that? Like Arsenal might give us a bit of a game. Chelsea, obviously, I think we'll go for it. But what again? they'll have FA Cup games, I think, you know, potentially.
Yeah, it's
you know,
weekend before the Chelsea game, isn't
they
it?
Might well be looking towards an FA Cup semi or FA Cup final, whatever it'll be at that stage. I think there's loads more positives to take from that. I enjoyed that game of football. I think we went about it the right way. It was, considering it was two very different sides play, you know, and the changes we made, I think this was a much a night and day performance compared to Aston Villa.
There was part of the performance that I didn't like, you know. I mean, I've got the stats in front of me actually, and I'll get them up on the screen for you now. And hopefully that should be about ready.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so we've got the ball possession at 56%. Not as high as we normally see, actually, from Liverpool. 19 shots to 12. Quite a lot of shots we gave away to Brighton there. We had 8 on target to their 2, though. Now, the big thing, if I just scroll down a little bit, we created 4 big chances, missed 3 of them. Mm-hmm. They created 5 big chances and missed 4 of them. That's the concern for me at the moment, is that we seem to be conceding a lot of shots on goal and big chances. And Alisson, luckily, is one of the best goalkeepers in world football. But I'm just going to go over to Salah while I've got this on the screen as well, because Salah had a great game, didn't he? Mm. And we can talk about the big chances and stuff straight after. 2 goals, 1 assist, 5 shots on target, 2 shots off, 1 shot blocked, fuming as well. Doesn't say that, but he was fuming. 3 big chances missed, 45 touches, 2 key passes as well for a lad who was looking for a hat-trick and was looking for goals, still managed to get 2 key passes and stuff. The lad's unbelievable. Well, we can leave the iPad for a bit now. What do you make of these big chances and our... What do you put it down to, Paul? Is it the fact that we've changed the midfield? Are we just not playing with the same intensity now that we've won the league? Or do we need to be worried in any way?
It boils down to me. Again, I think Brighton had a go. And maybe it's a little bit of complacency, you could maybe argue. Maybe it is fitness. I think what's telling is, and I said this earlier on, Liverpool have got their first team. And all everyone else is doing is being a bit of a place card while we keep the first team fit and we get the first team in as many games as possible. And I said this all along, Klopp and the fitness team will be working so that we can have the best team possible for Arsenal and Chelsea, because mm-hmm. they're the games that are going to break the point, and they're going to be the most difficult remaining fixtures. Duh, it goes without saying, the two best teams left that we've got left to play. We're just better. Our first team have got the greatest understanding. They're our best footballers, and everything else is all a bit. We're testing this, and we try. It's either they're just coming in to fill a body, to be a body while the other lad gets a bit of rest, or it is, as you kind of said a couple of times on various players, is to have a little bit of an experiment and see how people get on and stuff. So,
you can say end.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No.
Well, what's the point? The league's fucking won. You know what I mean? And I wonder whether, in terms of how we're approaching games, I don't think we're playing football in the way that we normally play football. And whether that, I don't know what that is and why that is, but we're not... You know, yes, you mentioned it, like, we're having more possession, but we weren't, like, we didn't just kill that game stone dead. The Liverpool that's won the league this season gets two goals up and goes, that's fine. We continue to play for the entire game there. We continue to run, we continue to try. And I just wonder whether that's a part of a game plan, is we're going back to what we were. We're trying to maybe blow teams away. And being disjointed with the players maybe on the pitch, we're not quite as solid in doing that. But yeah, I can't possibly see it as a concern. The league's done and dusted, and we just won 3-1.
92 points, points total. Looking at 104 still. A couple of big games left. I think we're going to do it.
If Burnley goes the way that it should go. In that it should just be 3 points and wrap them up and carry on. Yeah, I don't think we'll do. I don't know that we'll get 104, but I think 101 should be the target, or what? 102. You know, if you draw, you pick up a draw or whatever instead. Which would be
92 points is more than Manchester United have ever got in a league season in the Premier League era. By the way, isn't it?
Yeah, I did a video on this on my channel about how you rank this Liverpool side, and it's dead funny how. I mean, you use it to save your arguments, but when you're constructing who are the best Premier League sides of all time, I find it astounding how quickly Man United fans are to write off the total of points that you get. Well, you know, because I keep saying it, for me, particularly if Man City put a full stop on it by winning the Champions League this season, Pep's Man City side is the greatest Premier League team of all time, but Klopp has the ability to usurp that next season. Because if they win another league or another European Cup next season, I think they go neck and neck or above. It's boss. Liverpool are fucking amazing. And, you know, people will try to knock us down for that, but that's their point. Just to talk briefly about Mo Salah before we wrap up, because you mentioned his stats and stuff. He's phenomenal. Just like an absolute revelation. And all this talk, I got mentioned this on Red Mentions about his selfishness. I don't understand, and I get it, because I've felt that at times during the season. I think he has been a little bit up and down this season, but, you know, 19 goals and 9 assists, how much less selfish can you be and still be a top centre-forward?
I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest, he frustrates me at times.
Yeah.
Like, he's not frustrated me for a few months. Obviously, we didn't have footy for a few months. There was a point during the season where I was getting really, really frustrated with Salah because, you know, he maybe wasn't being that team player that I thought that Liverpool needed at the time, but also Liverpool need a goal scorer. And it's mad because I don't know why this is, and maybe people in the comments will be able to tell me, but for some reason, I think he's the most underrated striker in the league.
100%.
Because he's just consistently so good. He's probably going to get 320 goal seasons in the Premier League back-to-back. Uh-huh. You know, he's top scorer last two seasons, joint obviously with Aubameyang and Mane last season, and yet is always spoken about as being a selfish player and not that good and a one season wonder and all this type of stuff, and yet he's consistently been the best player in the league since he waltzed back into the league and took it by storm.
The guy who brought this
comment
up, and
I get frustrated by him as well, by the way, and I'm saying this.
I don't think he's been at the same level of, because he's so good in his first season and he just scored every week. By that standard, he has been a little bit up and down. I think Liverpool have had to work their way through some troubles this season. I don't think David Carrigi's knocked on the door enough. Shaqiri's not been able to knock on the door enough. And that's it then. So, you know, and Oxlade-Chamberlain's played more games than we'd have liked in the front three as a result. None of those lads are going to really drive on the existing front three. They've been driving themselves on. The comment was mentioned, was like, why can't he be more like Lewandowski? Well, Lewandowski, I just sort of get it up. 34 goals this season. Yeah, Lewandowski's a goal machine. But he's got 4 assists. So this notion of like, Lewandowski, he knows when not to take a chance and blah, blah, blah. Not as well as Mohamed Salah, but, you know, just on pure statistics. He is a complete forward.
I do think there are times during games where he is selfish. I'm not going to get away from that. Whether he's got 9 assists or he's got 15, I'll still tell you he's being selfish. The difference is, right?
Whether you're arsed on him.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, listen, if he wasn't passing and he wasn't scoring goals, I'd be really angry. Yeah. But if he decides not to pass and scores fucking 20 goals a season or 30 goals a season, I'm going to go, sound, back yourself, mate. I'm fine with that because you're still scoring goals. If you're not scoring goals and you're not assisting, we're going to have problems, Mo, me and you. Yeah. But you keep banging them in and I won't be banging on your door, mate.
No, mate, again, I find it ludicrous. And again, now to say this, I get it when... he's not scoring week in, week out. And he had a little dry spell, his first, the longest dry spell, I think, pretty much early on in the season. And Mane had been a bit up and down or whatever. And, you know, I get Sadio Mane, 16 goals and 7 assists in the Premier League. Like, these numbers are phenomenal. These guys both look a bit selfish at times, to be perfectly honest. But they, like, if Salah had 19 goals and 0 assists, I'd be like, that's selfish. You are being selfish, because I know that there's plenty of opportunities. I've seen him take a shot on when I actually think he could have passed. But he's somehow managing to balance that pretty well, because he's going for the golden boot. And yet, you know, there's no one... No, like, again, in terms of the top goal scorers in the league, nobody comes... Who's the only the next highest assister, the only person who's got more assists than them on the top goal scorer chart is Kevin De Bruyne, who's got 11 goals and 18 assists. No one comes close. In fact, Mane's the only one who comes close to touching him in terms of his creative output as well. He's world class. He's our best player. And I think the problem is that because he doesn't wear the number 9 shirt, he doesn't play centre forward, and let's be honest, he does look a bit, I don't know, Torres just looked like this. He used to glide in and slot everything perfectly, and he was this super number 9. Because Salah does look a bit bundly at times, and things do bobble a bit for him, and he goes in and he scores, but he scores every type of goal.
Yeah, but the reason that he does those types of things, think about the one where, like, he probably should have had about 7 or 8 penalties given against him. He doesn't take penalties, so that goes against him as well. Yeah. That would put him on 25 fucking goals easy this season, even if he just took the ones that he should have been given, never mind the ones that were given on him. The difference is, he's constantly doing this little back and drag and all this type of stuff from last week where he should have had a penalty. That's because there's 4 men on him all the fucking time. We used to play the ball over the top to Torres, and he was running on the goalkeeper one-on-one most of the time. Yeah. That's the difference. Is Mo Salah is in an age of football now, and plays in a position where you can double up. You can't double up on a fucking centre-forward who's running in behind. You just can't do it, but you can get 2 or 3 bodies around Mo Salah because he plays on the right wing.
Would you, people keep saying Liverpool need a finisher, need an out-and-out finisher. Jamie Vardy's an out-and-out finisher and has only got 3 more goals than Salah. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is an out-and-out finisher and has only got 1 more goal than Mohamed Salah. Look back, and I know Aguero's had his injury problems, but, like, 16 goals for Aguero. It's because...
I think teams can always go with an out-and-out finisher. Where does he go?
But what does it do to the rest of what you... We've got an out-and-out finisher. His name's Divock Origi. He doesn't suit how we play. Suit how we play football. You could put a number 9, you put him centre forward, and we're fucking crap. You know, we don't play football well and right in that situation. You've got to change how you play to suit a suit an out and out goal scorer, because they're all selfish pricks. All goal scorers are selfish arseholes, because all they live for is goals. Mohamed Salah is that, and yet is going to end up probably on double figures assists for the season as well. Don't see the problem.
Can we have a little word about Naby Keita?
Yes, very briefly.
Because he was fucking tremendous.
He was. Another absolutely, really full-on Naby Keita performance. And anyone who doesn't see what he can do, I get people who are a bit unsure and maybe don't think he'll ever really truly hit the peaks for Liverpool because he doesn't play enough footy for us. But I can't understand anyone who doesn't think he's an absolute player.
No, I don't know, man. I just, every time I see him, I just love it when he's got the ball at his feet. I just get the ball to him. He played 4 key passes tonight, and 2 of our big chances, he was the one who created them. And then you think about him winning the ball back, both of our first 2 goals as well, and what he did. And he obviously gets that assist as well for the first one. Just fucking brilliant to watch. Dead fun to watch, and just different to what we've got and what we've had, and I think maybe what we've ever had. I don't think we've ever had a centre midfielder like him.
No.
Runs with his head up, always looking for a pass, direct, just beautiful.
He's a bit like, I think he plays the midfield the way that Coutinho wanted to play midfield. You know, I don't think he's the same player as Coutinho, but he's got that very close control. He's nippy over a couple of yards, but he's not necessarily massively explosive and what have you. When people talk about, like, we never replaced Coutinho, we did with Keita. I think people think Coutinho was the lad who used to bend balls into the top corner every now and again and forget how horrendously frustrating that was as a footballer. Keita quietly has a really good goal return for the amount of minutes that he plays on the pitch for us. And he is that guy who you just boot the ball to him in really tight spaces and he's happy to just maintain possession. As you say, he'll glide past the man, open up a new range of options for him, stop, start. He's got a surprising amount of vision on him. I think that's a sharpness that will come. I think if we ever get 10 games back-to-back out of Keita, I think he'll start to be that unlocker of defences with his passes as well. The key master indeed, yeah. So very, 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 very encouraging indeed. More about Naby Keita tomorrow on the Final Word Show. If you want to join us for that show, you can do. Become a Red Men member on YouTube. Sign up Tier 2 and Tier 3, which is Club Captain and Club Legend levels, will get you access to the Final Word Show after every single Liverpool game, 60 minutes exclusively for there and for subscribers to the Red Men TV. .com. Yes, and we'll of course be building up to Burnley as well, which will be available for free on the YouTube. Guys, thank you so much. You've been absolutely wonderful sticking with us throughout the entirety of the show. Hope you've had a wonderful evening. The Fan Zone show will return on Saturday at 2:15, 45 minutes before the 3 o'clock kickoff against Burnley on Saturday. So we shall see you there. Thank you very much. Good night.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.